Hello, Ponders. Welcome back to a new episode of Possip and Ponder, a podcast where we talk about everything and anything in the aim to give you some encouragement, some hope, and some light. And if you're watching this, yeah, it's way different today, a whole new environment and new style, thanks to my friend that we're going to talk to today, Say Park, a very, very talented filmmaker, husband, father of two, and he's gonna tell more about himself because this is our first time meeting in person.
Oh my goodness.
After 4 years, and of course COVID pushed that, but we just never had the chance to meet, and it's crazy how we met as well. Did you want to explain how we met? Or
I think we have to.
yeah
Hey, how's it going, guys? My name is Say Park. I don't have a job title because I do everything that has to do with filmmaking. So I guess you call me YouTuber, filmmaker, and anything that goes in between. But yeah, like, we met each other online through this podcast, actually, right? So when you interviewed Glory, Glory had a competition. I should have read that comment that I wrote. So it's like a competition where you get to comment while you're doing what you're doing. I don't remember the exact question you asked.
Yeah.
But I wrote this really, really long essay.
Yeah, whatever it fits on IG. I believe it was Glory asking, what do you do and why do you do it?
Yeah.
Something around those realms.
Yeah. So I think she picked, like, I guess 10 of us, maybe. Mm-hmm. I was one of the winners. And through that, I met so many other people. But yeah, that's how we met.
Yeah. And then we found out that we're in the same area. And also that we have a mutual friend, Eric. He's also been on this podcast, Eric, in this room too. When we came here, this is actually my first time back in this library, because this is during the times when I first started and I was like, I don't know how to do this. Where do I go? How do I do it? And, you know, these were kind of like the OG places of where I would record and meet new people. And I'm so glad that you get to be a part of this. So thank you for joining us. And I guess let's talk, before we go into filmmaking and creative stuff, how have you been throughout these crazy times?
Oh my goodness. I think this is probably one of the few times I get to actually sit and think about that, because it's been that busy where you don't think about what's going on and how I've been surviving. It's been very difficult in terms of just trying to create, because I have two young kids. One's 4-year-old now, one's 7. I can't believe beginning of all this almost 2 years ago, they were much younger. So they've grown so much. But yeah, in this area, schools were closed at first. Even when they opened like half capacity, part-time. So yeah, I've been taking care of the kids as much as possible. And I don't have a big house. I mean, I know people have different experiences throughout pandemic, depending on their situation and environment. But in my situation, I have a very open little townhouse that doesn't have doors. I mean, got a couple doors in the bedrooms, but rest of the floors don't have doors. It literally is me editing on top of kids playing.
And that's what I really love. Like, just from the start that I met you today, and also from watching your stuff, you are very innovative. Like, you work with what you have, which you don't see behind the camera. You don't see, like, it took us a while. Actually, we ran into a problem before we got here. I had to get new equipment. Our audio guy today forgot one of the most important things that we need to use for today. And but it's all about working with what you have, and like you said, you have a minimal kind of setup, right? And I definitely want to go into that. But for you, why filmmaking, and can you explain more in depth of why you do it, really?
I guess we kind of have to go back to like
go
where
back.
We're all kind of started in the sense that so I was in IT for about 9 years. So when I came to this country by myself at age 13, I had this notion why I'm at this country, in this country. And I thought the dream was to get like a really nice corporate job that makes tons of money, that's gonna please my parents possibly. And the direction pointed all to kind of IT. So I did IT, got a degree in IT, and did that for a while. And I guess my brain's very creative. And you can get a little bit creative in IT. You can make a bunch of network diagrams that are pretty.
Fun.
My boss loved that. But in terms of like actual creative outlet, I wasn't really, I guess, really challenging myself in a sense that I felt really fulfilled. So yeah, I, you know, and this is back in the day, if you guys remember back, like when 1080p first came out, you're like, yo, 1080p, what you got? 720p. and I had this really cool camcorder. It was 1080p, and I thought that was the most amazing image ever. Yeah. So I start getting into filmmaking then, when I first started IT, just filming like how-to tutorials on computers, so I don't have to tell the rest of the employees what to do every single time. So I just like, here's a video you can watch. So that's kind of where it started, but it really just kind of tickled me in a sense that I never felt so fulfilled on like just making something come to life. So that's kind of how I got into filmmaking in the beginning, and just slowly realized that, oh my goodness, IT is not something I want to do the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. It's filmmaking because that's what I love.
Wow, that's amazing. Humble beginnings, right? We all come from somewhere, right? From an idea. And I like how you explain, like, you love seeing things come to life, and you do that, and it's a process. And the reason why I specifically had you on here, because I'm very intentional when it comes to like bringing people on here, because of course the creative world is so big.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's always those rare, what do you call them? Those rare beings, those who are very intentional. And, you know, I can totally sense that, that passion and that drive and, you know, making use and of your purpose. Right. So I love picking at people's like creatives specifically, because we are all going through our own journey. And I think many of us go through similarities, but the things that we don't always have time to talk about, like you said, is the things that happen mentally, socially, emotionally, physically, and financially, which is another thing I wanted to really get into. You know, these are things that people don't see firsthand, especially with the YouTube world and just the creative world. Things are shown to us like in a consumer sense, right? And like we see things visually. But I wanted you on here because you're kind of in a different experience than I am, not just with the age, but, you know, just life experience.
They don't know, it's audio, come on.
We'll cut that out.
No, but, it's okay. Yeah, like, but, I like this kind of conversation.
Yeah, because I love learning from people in different perspectives, different life situations and circumstances. One, because you're phenomenal at what you do. Like, I'm genuinely saying that. And, you know, you have a family. You joined into this while already being in the midst of having so many roles and responsibilities. And I think when we first started talking, that's when you quit your job. Is that correct?
So it's hard to, like, gauge, like, when you officially quit your job. So I look at it as my first time quitting my job was when I left IT. Because that was the hardest decision for me. Of course, the second time I quit, which we'll talk about in a second, it was also very hard. So first time I quit, I think it was almost 6 years ago, I'm going to say. I should write it down the date. Like, I should celebrate the anniversary. It's like, this is why I quit my job. But, you know, again, like, you go into it so head on as this, you don't actually have like a set date, like, oh, this is where I'm gonna quit my job. It's really leap of faith in a sense that that week or that month I decided, all right, this is not for me. And the day I quit my job was probably at the peak of my IT career, is when I was promoted as the North American Director of IT Services. And about 3-4 weeks into that, and then they asked me to travel to Beijing and all over the world. I think that's kind of when I said, you know what? I'm not going to see my family. I need to reconsider this. And then, of course, when they do counter offers, oh my goodness. So when you tell your boss, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I was leaping my faith literally from going from IT to work for a church. So it was literally leap of faith. And I remember the conversation with the pastor. We didn't even talk about salary, right? So I'm literally just ditching my six-figure dream job to just jump to work for a church, which I didn't really care about how much I got paid, in a sense that it was really a calling. So that's kind of like, I would say, the first time I quit. So at the church, I was hired as a creative director. And the title, again, wasn't there. It was really a creative video person. Mm-hmm. So I did the editing. I led all the video announcement for weekends. So that's when I first quit. And the second time I quit was about 2 years ago now, is when I left church to do video making for full time as my own business. But rather, I wanted to just jump into YouTube. Obviously, the story and narrative changed as I really jumped into it because of COVID. But that's the second time I quit, was the church was still like a regular salary. So I always knew exactly how much I was going to make that month. Mm-hmm. Whereas in doing YouTube, like, you don't know.
Yeah.
I have no clue what I'm making next month or even next year. But again, when you're passionate about something that much, that just becomes secondary.
Yeah, amazing. I think what stood out for me when you talking is saying that you dropped it when things were...
Oh, hello.
I know, right? You drop things when things were really good at your time, financially, I guess you would say, or like in socially, in a social aspect, like you were already up there. But that's when you decided, and that's when you realized, this is not for me. As to maybe some other people might change or switch their paths when things are already kind of overwhelming. And that's a big... That's a unique story, to leave when you have the option to stay, but something in you, you know, God calling out to you saying, this isn't your path that I want you to be on. That must have been, was that like, did it take a few years for you to kind of figure that out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you work for a church, especially for the church that I worked at, they didn't take employment lightly. It wasn't like, oh yeah, you like video? You go to this church? Yeah, you're hired. No, it wasn't like that. It was literally, I interviewed 6 people throughout an entire year. Now, it was always like in the back of my mind where the interview wasn't, I guess, prolonging to a point where I knew it was like so realistic, like I'm gonna jump into it. Mm-hmm. It was more like, huh, you know what? At first it was like them approaching me to interview, so I kind of open-minded, because I'm always open to things, so I started to interview. I never thought, I was like, oh, I'm gonna quit this job all of a sudden and go work for a church. Mm-hmm. So interview was more of a conversation, so the conversation happened for a year, and I always, you know, throughout that year, I always wanted to stay in IT, some degree that obviously did it, mm-hmm. but I think the real test was when I got promoted. And you know, and things in a sense got easier because all of a sudden they're giving me, there are 28 companies. So I will have 28 companies IT team under me, and I'll be able to tell them what to do and just lead the whole entire team, in a sense that my workload just got looser, because I used to work till 2 a.m. sometimes patching up server by myself. I was a very small team in my own company. And then that company bought the other 28 company. And it's a funny story in a sense that some of the companies the big company bought, I worked in the past. So it makes sense for them to hire me, because for the company in that 28, I already worked there. Mm-hmm. So again, it was one of those like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome. Like in a sense, like, oh, I get to have a team now. I get to travel in a sense. Sure, I won't see my family, but at the same time, like, it's something that I dreamed of when I first started that IT journey, to a point where it was a real test, like, all right, do I keep going this path? Because once I take that and keep doing that, I know it's going to be very hard to come back from it. Because your lifestyle becomes what you make, and your salary kind of like feeds into that. So, I mean, at that point, I'm already kind of getting into the lifestyle, like, all right, a lot of people get locked into the house and mortgage and car payments that fits to their own salary, to a point where when they want to back out, they can't, because they're not flexible like that. So I knew, just knowing my human nature, when I go down that path, I wasn't going to come back. So it was more like, all right, the timing of this interview, the conversation I'm having, and the prayers that I'm having with God, I just knew at that moment, just like clearly, like, this is where I split.
Yeah. It's really hard getting out of that comfortable stage.
Yeah.
For sure. I think that's although it's comforting, that's sometimes what keeps us from reaching our actual full potential and our actual full path. So what you said, you sacrificed things like when you were in, you know, IT, you had to sacrifice family time, you have to sacrifice other things, maybe like your social life with other people. Like, there's always things that you would have to consider. What are the things that you have to consider when becoming a full-time creator? Because I believe, you know, still whatever path you choose, there are always cons and always pros to it.
Yeah, I think anywhere you look at it, I think it's always a balance, because even in IT, sure, I had late nights where I didn't see my family. In fact, there was one day where it was Thanksgiving and they literally called me. It was like, hey, if you guys remember fax, fax mm-hmm. server is down. Mm-hmm. And I had to go in, I remember, and fix that. And like, I just left my turkey half eaten. Oh, it was the most horrific experience, because that kind of hit me to the core. I think that's when I started to feel like, all right, there's going to be a balance between my work and family. But that doesn't stop. Like, when you become a creative or anything that you do, because a lot of times I'm like all in no matter what, like whether it's IT, even though I didn't like it that much, but I had to try 110%. And same thing filmmaking, like I'm in it 110% to a point where if I'm not careful and cautious and mindful, my direction and my principle can sway between balancing between family and my own work. So yeah, I think it's still the same no matter where you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, there are so many other things to consider when choosing a path, but I think, again, like you said, it has to do with balance, which I can go off balance with sometimes. But I believe if you continue to stay with your values, continue to stay with your purpose, eventually you go back on the same track, back track.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you are here. It's been, 6 years since you've been a creator? 4 years?
So that term is funny.
There's no legit. Yeah.
Because like, all right, so I quit my IT job. And then I worked at church. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was a very creative outlet. Because imagine your weekend video announcement. Yes. At the time, in my head, we could do anything we want, mm-hmm. right? So I would think of different ways to tell a story where you get to sign up for like life group, right? And I remember one time I like copied like a Snicker commercial, and it was like the coolest thing. I think of myself creator when I start working for a church, and then the definition changed when I became my own creator, in a sense that like YouTube is the most creative field that you can ever go into. I have a little term: once you go YouTube, you don't want to work for another dude.
Right.
Only because it rhymes. I mean, you can work for anyone. But I think that was the point in my life where I felt like a true creator, in a creative sense, that like there was no ceiling. There was nothing stopping you from making anything other than yourself. So yeah, I think that's kind of when it started.
Yeah, I'm just like recollecting like my first moments when I like, because I've always been doing art, but over time it's just my art has like found new ways of expressing itself. And that's like the great thing about like being a creative, is like you finding those different outlets. Because, you know, high school days, like you're very set on one thing.
Yeah.
You're told that, okay, this is what you're gonna have to do, this is the path that you have to take. But it's not until you actually step out into the world, and then you're given all these different waves of how you can use your specific talent, because our journey is not the same as someone else's journey.
Exactly.
You know, so from that time you kind of found that. How are you now in terms of creative process or equipment? Like, what are the things that you've learned, things that you will never do again, things that you want to get better at?
Oh man, so that's a whole entire field. But so when you kind of run your own YouTube channel, again, like there's no ceiling, right? Which is the wonderful thing. You can use any equipment you want. Like you could, I mean, there are YouTubers who use Red cameras just because they can. Not that they need to, and the quality difference between a Red camera and like something I'm filming right now, Sony A7S3, on YouTube compression, it's very hard to tell when you like start to really grade it. So equipment wise, I have a core belief that you use whatever you got.
Yes.
Long as you are within the, I guess, range of getting better is diminishing, then an upgrade makes sense. But if you're using a mid-range camera and you have so much to learn still on that camera, upgrading is not gonna make you that much better of a filmmaker. And of course, this is very commonly talked about, you focus on story, which is not as easy as said. I know everyone says that, but I think it is true. But that is a skill set you can learn rest of your life. So I think anyone can skill on that. So I try to stay in that course where I'm focused on like trying to tell a story, whether it's through my branding or a single video I'm making. The equipment kind of defined my creative process in the beginning, but as I went through, I guess, different years and different seasons of my life in creation, I think one thing that I learned, and I preached to this like really hard, and I made a video about this recently. But yeah, by the time this posts, it should be on my YouTube channel. But it's literally about our biggest skill set and our biggest responsibility is not like how to use the equipment or anything like that. It's literally like, how can I scale and keep the passion that we already found? Because I think we all experience this as a creative. There are up and downs, and it's not the up that you have to pay attention to a lot of times, it's the down, like when you feel like giving up. Because to me, it's so heartbreaking to see someone who's very talented and just really good at what they do creatively, all of a sudden they burn out and they don't want to do it anymore. Or they're not, you know, they're still doing it, but you don't see that same fire anymore. And I think that is the biggest hindrance we can have as a creative. So all the process and everything that we do as a creative, I look at the core workflow as, is that one scalable? Is that one giving you the joy that you found when you first start to do it? And if it doesn't follow those two things, I try to deviate away from that process. Because I think one of the things I definitely got into, because I go all out when it comes to creation sometimes, to a point where I don't think about the workflow. I don't think about like the consequences of like working on this one giant video afterwards, what's going to happen. So I'm a little bit more mindful of that. So not that I'm like stopping myself from like just doing big things and out of the box things, but I also am very like self-conscious about like, is this going to burn me out? At the end, because I think I had too many videos where the ideas were bigger than my scalability that I went beyond that to kind of burn myself out.
I like that. I remember Gil, our audio man for today. you might hear him laughing. I remember throughout, I think I was probably in second season already, so that's probably like 30, like 17, I don't know, 20 episodes I've done by that time. And I was kind of running out of ideas of like who to have on, like guest speakers. And I was doing it, I was getting into the path of like, I need to do it for the sake of posting, or, you know, I need to get guest speakers for, you know, my podcast, and not taking into account of like, okay, but why are you doing it? What are they going to talk about? You know, because I can easily have anyone on my podcast, right? And there was like a part of my season where I was like, hey, does anyone want to be on my podcast? And then Gil was like, but why? Like, why them? What do they have to offer to the world? Like, what is your purpose in doing that?
Yeah.
And I love when you say that you're trying to be more and more mindful in what you do, because there's a lot of people out there who are doing it just for the sake of like, you know, it's the rat race, like having to get it done, like meeting up with, or keeping up with, you know, the expectations that people have of you. So I think mindfulness in our creative space is so important, or else you run into burnout.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, it's one of those things where you, it's such a balance, to a point where I can't even say the word balance, because it's one of those things, like the mindset you should have when you are creative is being outside the comfort zone and trying new things and doing all this. So the mentality and the things that people try to teach you in the beginning is that. But what you really realize towards the mid to end of your career is that you need focus and you need direction, because people who do hyper-focused things do really, really well when you focus on one or two things rather than everything. But that also works within you. So your burnout and your passion and keeping that passion also requires focus. So yeah, it's good.
I need more focus, because Gil and I are the type of people that like a lot of things and like work on like multiple projects. So that's one of the things I'm working on. But that's a good segue into talking about actually a book that Gil got me on. It talks about resistance in our creativeness and in our art. And resistance can come in different forms. And sometimes in the book, it actually portrays it in a way that it's, you can imagine it to be an actual person or a being or something physical. So it can come in doubt. It can come in laziness, inadequacy, you know, not feeling enough. Have you ever ran into resistance throughout your process?
Oh, have I ever?
Care to explain?
I think that is 100% just natural in creative process or any kind of entrepreneurship or anything that you really passionate about. When you chase that, there will be resistance. It won't, if it was that easy, it won't be fulfilling, and it's not something that you want to do, right? So yeah, I met many resistance, and I think it's very realistic, especially past 2 years, because you get to meet different kind of resistance you never thought you would experience. Because of the pandemic, I think my resistance was exactly that, in a sense that I never thought myself as someone who get burned out, because I always had some juice left in me. Every time I do a big project, I'll, you know, it'll bring me to my knees, but at least I knew how to get up properly. But my biggest resistance recently has been the fact that when I get up, I'm not getting up the same height I was in before. So when you keep falling down and you're getting up, you're just getting shorter by the minute. And you know, I know that's a kind of a funny analogy, but I think people tell you to get up, but I don't think people tell you get up high, like get up where you were before, or get up even taller. So my resistance has been my inner kind of ability to enjoy video making where I was before. I feel like each project I work on, I like video that much a little bit less, because I'm getting burned out. And I think that's something that's been real to me. And I don't have a solution like at this moment to tell you like, oh, in that situation, you did exactly this and you'd be okay. But I know I figured out some of the things are like actually helping other people get you up a little bit higher. So I've been trying to help out other people as much as possible past month and a half. Also, I'm really, as things go on, these are things you're learning about self, so it might be a little bit different each person. But one of the things I'm noticing is like my workflow and process is not very good at scaling. So if I want to do 10 video projects next month, I don't have a system infrastructurally and process oriented wise, I don't have that built yet. So I need to scale up, in a sense that I need to sit back and realize, okay, it had the most friction at these points, I'm gonna fix those friction points. Whether it's like how you have your equipment set up in your house, or how you set up your mic during podcast. Who knows what it is, but if you felt a little bit of pain every single time working on something and you ignore those are the resistance you gotta watch in 2 years, because it'll come get you. So everything that I felt slightly painful, I'm gonna look back, if it happens more than twice, and this is like IT orientation right here, anything that happens twice or three times, you automate it. So basically what you're saying is, it will happen again, you better have a solution you don't have to think about, it'll just take care of itself. I know that's a whole nother field, but that's the mentality I'm trying to have.
No, yeah. I mean, that's the things that I wanted to talk about on this podcast, because like, if we were to have a conversation, like a quick one, like you can't explain all of that. And that's what we need to hear, stuff like that. So you're welcome, guys. some people will like charge you for this information. So, but still, I mean, I think that's very important to talk about. I think one of my resistances that I'm dealing with, that I'm still trying to figure out, Gil and I talk about this a lot. For me, I think personally is perfectionism and also money.
Oh, yes.
So money is one of the...
Forgot about that one.
Great things. It has to do with what we do. You know, it's definitely one of the biggest factors, especially for you in doing it full time. I guess since you were at that point where you were making enough money, jumping to this, taking that leap of faith, money is something we do have to consider. For someone who has been going through it, how is your relationship to money? How has that been from the beginning to now?
So notice I didn't even think of money. And that comes kind of naturally now. It wasn't before. I used to worry about it so much because obviously having a different lifestyle when you quit your IT job, you have to think about money. But I think the detachment I have from the beginning of just leaving anything that's materialistic or worrying about like how much I'm going to have, and it should be worrisome. Because I have two kids, I have a house, I have a mortgage, so it's something that I should worry about, but I don't. It's really weird because I don't make a lot of money right now. So those of you who don't know me very well, so I shoot wedding as a second shooter for another guy almost every weekend. So there's a little bit of money there. Again, I'm doing second shooting, so it's not like ton of money, but it's something. And then I have YouTube ad revenue. Recently, I've been hired by this company named Juin, so I'm one of their hosts on their YouTube channel, so there's some money there. And that one's probably the most consistent in terms of, because, you know, it's one video a month, so that's somewhat consistent. But anything else, I mean, like, you know, those affiliate links you see on YouTubers' YouTube video, yeah, those are big income makers. But it goes up and down so much to the point where I'm just like, I don't even look at it. Like, it just is a surprise in my bank account one day. It's like, oh, that's nice. So, again, I think biggest thing I'm trying to do in terms of resistance level is that I don't think about money to a point where it doesn't become part of my creative workflow. So I never decide to do a video because, oh, that's gonna make a lot of money. Yes. I'm not saying like I'm not conscious about it. Like I know when I see a potential, sure, I take that, you know, opportunity, but I never go from a creative process where like, oh, I need money, what can I do? So that's become secondary. I know not everyone can do that in the beginning. So we do have to work on the side, which was my second shooting and wedding. But yeah, I think I trust it more than what it's worth. And it's just become second nature to me that money comes second. Of course, there are things you have to do to get to that situation. So I saved a lot. So I could have bought a Lamborghini before the kids, right? Because I mean, now that I look at it, I used to pay like $1,700 per kid for daycare. Wow. You combine that, that's a Lamborghini payment right there, right? So, I lived same almost. I never upgraded a lot of things. Even I start getting more money. I kind of took my boss as an example. My boss was making $300,000-$400,000 a year, I think, and he drive a hoopty, like it was like 15-year-old. So I'm like, all right, there's something to that. I'm gonna just live same and have the capacity to pivot when you can, and all of a sudden you're not tied to things like big house or, you know, fancy cars, anything like that. But yeah, I think money and creative process, they're kind of separate to me.
Which is very important. And that's why I wanted you to talk about it. And I'm so happy that you said that, because a lot of people leave it because they, or leave it so early because they assume in the beginning that's where the money will happen, like really quickly, or that, you know, jumping into something like it's going to be instant, but it's a process. And I think for me, I've definitely taken like some creative, like seminars and stuff like that, and how you can make money out of like your art. And like, the more I was into that, like listening, the more I hated listening to it, because I didn't want what I love to do as my job. Yeah, I can make money for it from it, like, you know, later on. But I think that's the real test of how passionate you are, whether you're going to get the sum of money or not, whether you're going to keep going, you know, and it's really that testing. I think in the book that I read, it was like, it doesn't matter like how much you make. Are you still doing it? Are you still showing up for your passion every day despite that? And I think for me, I think money is a big thing because, of course, you know, Asian household, money is huge, right? Like you need to have that stability. You need to have that security. Like this is what we're told, and it's not entirely wrong, but in the sense of what we're trying to do, it's not all that. And we're gonna soon hate it when it does become that, you know? So I think that was very important for you to say, and thank you for saying that, because it's a big misconception that, at least for me, and I'm sure for you, it's not the money that is what keeps us going. You know, I don't make anything from this podcast, and I think that's why I'm still doing it, is because like that was never my first drive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. And this is where that scalability comes in. So I think it's so hard to say, because you want to tell the people the responsible thing. So the core of it and the principle of it, you never start to do something you're passionate about because of money, but at the same time, you have to think somewhere in the line, is it scalable? Because at one point in time, you will need to find a way to make money. So if you can kind of cross where your passion is with money somewhere in the middle, I think that is very important. That is something that you have to think about, but at the same time, you don't let that drive you. Yes. I think that's the point.
Exactly, exactly. Awesome. So moving on, I guess to close, I guess you kind of explained it already. You do it through storytelling, but what drives you then? If money isn't that factor, you know, social, you know, how people see you, like what is what keeps you from keeps you in doing filmmaking, and yeah, what keeps you going?
Wow, that's a really good question. I knew you had a good question for the end.
I always save it for the end. So,
and I know this has changed like throughout my career. So I think my childhood and upbringing, I think, does drive me initially, because I had such a hardship coming to this country on my own, and just I literally worked at a sweatshop in a sense. And I always thought at that moment, I was like, one day I'm gonna make it. I gotta make it big, because you know, cause you want to find purpose according to the history of your life. And I felt like I had this huge purpose, so that's kind of where it started to. And I felt all this pressure to become whatever I do, become really good at it, become great at it. I think that was my driving factor. And then I had kids. And I think my biggest driving factor now, and this is why I try to upload as much as possible on YouTube, including my life, is that I would love my kid to look at me and just know that dad tried his best doing what he loves. And just being that example alone, I think that's my driving factor now. And then throughout that perspective, if I can help other people, and YouTube is in a sense like a huge world where everybody is watching so many videos. If that is the case, by me being a good example to my kids, maybe I'm possibly a good example to someone out there who can reflect their life on my channel and my life. So that's kind of like my driving factor now. And I'm at a point where I know so sure this is what I want to do, that even if I fail, I'll at least tell that story to someone, so they can learn from it at least. And I think that's where I'm going right now.
Yes, I love that. major snaps for that. Yeah, seriously, because that is why I do my podcast, just the same, to help. Because living, if we were to just do it for ourselves, yeah, we can do it. But there's always that void in us when we're only driven to fulfill ourselves. Like, we are made on this earth to be able to help other people as well. Like, that's a big drive, you know, we're to find that, you know, that season of like, wait, this is so much more than just myself. And you're able to develop yourself through other people too as well. And moments like this, right, we're learning from each other and we're excelling, and that's what I live for. And so that's awesome. Thank you, Faye, so much.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being transparent and vulnerable. And I really appreciate your time. So where can people find you? Should we look out for anything? If you want to put in a plug in.
Well, now that I'm, you know, 2 year into YouTube, if you type my name on YouTube, it actually shows up. So Say
yes!
Park, it'll show up. Thanks, guys.
Love that. So there you have it, guys. Thank you guys for watching and listening. I learned a lot from today, and I pray and hope that I will push video podcasts because that is my next step. It's one of the things that I really want to get into, and there's a lot of things that are telling me, nah, you shouldn't, but I know deep inside of me that I should do it. And so I'm sure you learned a lot from Say today. For all those creatives out there, you know, they're all having the same questions. We still do have these same questions, and some days we're not going to have a legit answer. Sometimes you'll find out in 3 years, in 2 months, but it's all about the journey and whether you want to commit to that journey. So thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. I'm very bad at promoting myself. Don't forget to subscribe, and also subscribe to Say. And I hope you enjoyed it and learned something. Don't forget to always love, to always be curious, and to always ponder. Bye, guys. Glossa. Yay!
That was so good.
Yeah. Also, that sounds really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, it was like...
I was afraid of, like, the out...
I didn't realize if it was like...
You know what? Having this mic changes my voice.
You're sitting taller.
All of a sudden, I'm like, this is my voice.
The same
and then
person.
When you have a lap mic...
Hey, you guys!
Yeah. When you have it, just talk to me.
That's so...
No, but I can't wait for you guys.